Going to be reading from Mark 7, 1 through 23. Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around him, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. There are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the traditions of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition.' Then he said to them, 'You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, "Honor your father and your mother, and whoever speaks evil of father or mother must surely die. But you say that if anyone tells father or mother, whatever support you might have had from me is korban, that is, an offering to God, then you no longer permit doing anything for a father or mother, thus making void the word of God through your tradition that you have handed on, and you do many things like this.' Then he called the crowd again and said to them, 'Listen to me, all of you, and understand, there is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile.' When he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about the parable. He said to them, 'Then do you also fail to understand? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile, since it enters not the heart, but the stomach, and goes out into the sewer? Thus he declared all foods clean. And he said, "It is what comes out of a person that defiles, for it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Fornication and theft and murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, and folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." Isaiah seemed to have had it right. The Pharisees, they acted like they worshiped God. They went through all the motions, but their heart just wasn't in it. One of the truisms of life is that you can't judge a book by its cover. You can't judge a person by how you see them. And we tend to do things like that. We judge things the way we see them. There's a funny story about a zoo in Spain who decided to have a drill to be prepared for if one of the gorillas were to escape. And so, to make it more realistic, they dressed one of the employees in a gorilla suit and had him wander around the zoo. Well, unfortunately, not all the staff members at the zoo knew that it was a drill. One of the veterinarians saw this gorilla walking through the zoo, went and grabbed a tranquilizer gun and shot the employee in the leg. Things are not always what they appear. You can't always judge somebody by their appearance. There's an intriguing legend about the White Witch of Rose Hall. It's a tale about a beautiful woman named Annie Palmer who used her unparalleled beauty to lure wealthy men to marry her. And there's nothing unusual about that, but after she would marry them, she would convince them to put her in their will. And then she would proceed to poison them. And she would continue to poison them while she made it look like she was nursing them back to health. And after they would pass on, she would naturally inherit the estate. She did this several times and became very wealthy because of it. And that's why she was known as the White Witch. Because of her alluring appearance, she was a beautiful woman, but her thoroughly evil nature inside. Some of us, maybe all of us, know somebody that's kind of like that. On the surface, they appear like very caring, very loving people. But on the inside, they're always scheming, trying to find a way to get to you. You can't judge a book by the cover. On this particular day, Jesus' disciples were eating with unclean hands. And as you know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the lawyers, were always trying to find ways to catch Jesus doing something wrong, and him and his disciples. And so this was another opportunity for them to try and trap Jesus for not following tradition. Mark kind of explains a little bit about this tradition, about the word unclean. It's a Greek word called koinai, and it actually means ceremonially unwashed. It was a term that among Jews denoted whatever was contaminated according to their religious rituals was unfit to be called holy or devoted to God. Unclean could even refer to the practices of people. Of course, the most common ritual of cleaning was washing your hands before you ate. And for a loyal Jew to disregard this regulation was a sin. And you and I might say that these disciples were engaging in unsanitary behavior, that they should have washed their hands. But in the Pharisees' minds, Jesus' disciples were indulging in sinful behavior. They were committing a sin. Of course, now let's pause for a little bit and think about some of these traditions, these ritual cleansings, and they probably had a positive effect on the Jews at the time. They didn't really know what germs were, but God always seems to have a way of taking care of us and making us realize that, hey, you really need to wash that before you eat it. So it wasn't a bad thing per se, but the way the Pharisees were using it to try and trap Jesus was wrong. Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders? Jesus knew what they were up to. Jesus always can see what's in our hearts. He saw what was in the Pharisees' hearts. And they weren't so much concerned about the disciples washing their hands as they were to find fault in his ministry. They were always looking for ways to find something that Jesus did wrong. And he always managed to be one step ahead of them. When he replied, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachers are merely human rules. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human tradition. And that was a pretty accurate assessment of the Pharisees and the Sadducees at the time. And what you got to realize, too, is those traditions didn't come from the Bible. Those traditions were man-made. The Pharisees, if I remember right, had 600 and some different rules and regulations that people were supposed to follow. They didn't come from God. They came from the Pharisees because they were trying to find ways to control the people. Years ago, Harry Emerson Fosdick tells about a church in Denmark. This church has been there for hundreds of years. Well, over the past 300 years, anybody entering the church would stop at this one place on the wall, nothing there, just a blank white wall. They would stop and bow like they were praying to that spot on the wall. Nobody knew why, but this has been going on for 300 years. Well, they decided to do a little bit of renovation in the church, and they removed the whitewash that was on the walls and discovered there was an image of St. Mary on the wall in that spot. And it's like any other tradition. People started bowing to the St. Mary, and even though it got covered up, they kept doing it because grandma and grandpa did it, mom and dad did it, I need to do it as well. They didn't know why they were bowing to that blank spot on the wall, But they knew there was something to that. It was a tradition. It's clear that Jesus was not really concerned about appearances, about what might be. He was concerned about their inner integrity. The Pharisees were all about dressing real nice and talking real nice, as long as you followed their rules. But they really, inside, their heart wasn't in the right place. Jesus knew that. Reverend David Yarborough tells about when he was in Bible college, and there was a young man there named Shannon who was considered kind of out of place, had long hair, piercings everywhere, dressed kind of shabbily. But the most odd thing about him is he always wore shorts and he always wore them backwards. People just kind of accepted it. But Reverend Yarborough, at some point, couldn't take it anymore. He stopped Shannon and he says, "Okay, why? Why do you wear your shorts backwards?" Shannon was very quick to answer him. He says, "I'll tell you just like I tell everybody else. I tell them that God turned my life around so fast that my shorts couldn't keep up. God turned his life around." And that was kind of his way of expressing to others that that's what had happened. And as he got to know Shannon a little bit better, he discovered that in spite of his odd appearance, in his class participation, in his research papers, his prayers, they found out that Shannon was a very spiritual young man. So even though everybody's initial reaction to Shannon was, "What's wrong with that guy?" he was very spiritual. And because he knew people would ask him about his backward shorts, that would open a door for him to talk to them about God. Gave him an opportunity. Most of us remember Archie Bunker and his poor son-in-law that he called Meathead. He called him that mainly because he had long hair and dressed like a hippie, and which totally went against Archie Bunker's idea of how you should be. And you can really upset a dad, maybe not so much anymore, but when our girls were growing up, you could really upset a dad by a poorly dressed, long-haired young man coming to the front door to take your daughter out. You thought, "Oh no." But it's not such a big deal anymore, to the point where if you watch a Gaither concert on television or live, you will notice that a good portion of the singers and musicians have long hair. It's not a big deal anymore. And if you think way back, Jesus had long hair and a beard. So what's the deal with that? And we think about people like us, gray-haired, we tend to be stuck in our traditions, just like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Maybe not quite that bad, but we tend to be stuck in our traditions. I heard it said one time, a young man that took over a small church and now they have multiple satellite churches, he made the comment that people are engaged to change, but they're married to their traditions. Change is hard. Getting people to accept things being different is hard. We look at examples like the prodigal son. Who was more spiritual? The older brother that stayed home and did what mom and dad wanted him to do, or the young, rebellious, prodigal son who wanted his inheritance and ran off? Who was more spiritual? We don't really know for a fact, but we don't look at their outside appearance. We don't look at how they were to make that judgment. he finally realized that he was wrong and came running back to his dad, willing to be a servant. His heart woke up. So we need to be careful how we look at people, how we judge people, especially people that come into our church. Leonard Sweet, he's a well-known preacher and author, he makes the comment that church loves blue hair. Now, he's not talking about blue hair. He's talking about us blue hairs. He says, until it walks through the door on a 16-year-old kid. And we chuckle about that, but isn't that kind of how it is? We have our perception of how people should be when they come through the front door, and young adults, they worship Christ differently. They see it differently. They like different music. And who are we to say that they're wrong? Everybody has their own way of worshiping God. And in today's society, our young adults need Christ worse than ever. So who are we to discourage them from coming to church? They need to be in church. They need to be with other Christian people. And we, as older adults, need to be willing to accept them that way. And we need to be willing to change if necessary, to help them on their journey to Christ. Reverend Benjamin Shambaugh tells about a woman he once knew who got engaged later in life. Her husband had passed away. She was about to get married again. And her son, who was a successful businessman, wasn't real sure about that. So he flew out to the West Coast to have lunch with his mother's new fiance in order to check him out. Her son's feedback after their luncheon amounted to one sentence. Well, he is a nice man, but he needs new shoes. See, he didn't fit into the son's idea of how he should have been to be marrying his mother. And what he didn't realize is that this man, his mother's fiance, was also going through a grief process. His wife had passed away. So while he may have not been real concerned about how he dressed because he was grieving, inside he was a good man. He was just hurting. They got married, and the son found out that this man had an incredible heart and took very good care of his mother. So even though he thought the man wasn't quite right in the first place, he found out that he was. Appearances can cause all kinds of problems with how we see people. We need to see past the appearance. We need to see inside of people. I can remember when I was young, air conditioners weren't real prevalent at the time, especially in cars, and you knew your neighbors. You'd sit on the front porch with your glass of iced tea at night and you would holler across the street. You knew your neighbors. You knew who they were. You knew who the pharmacist was. You knew who the gas station attendant was, the grocer. You knew the people that you lived with in town. Anymore, people leave their air-conditioned jobs, get in their air-conditioned cars, make a beeline from that air-conditioned car into their air-conditioned house, and we don't know our neighbors. And because we don't know our neighbors, we don't have a relationship with our neighbors in our community, we tend to judge by appearances because we don't know who they are. So we need to be very careful about how we see people. We have become a disconnected society. One last example. Man managing a club, and on this particular weekend, a whole bunch of motorcycle riders pull up in front of this club. Of course, everybody inside's thinking, oh God, biker gang. They judged by appearance and by stereotype. One of the bikers went up to the counter and asked the man, where's your telephone? He pointed to it back in the corner. And because everybody was so worried about these bikers, it was quiet in the restaurant, and they could actually hear him talking. This biker that's on the phone talking. And they heard him say, hi, Mom. Just want to let you know, I'll be home late tonight. Not the kind of thing you would expect to come from the stereotyped biker. But see, you can't judge them that way. I see groups of motorcycle riders going up Highway 79 in front of our house all the time. And it's because they like riding their bikes together. It's not because they're some terrible gang. So we need to be careful. We need to look at people's hearts, who they are inside, how they see Christ and worship Christ. That's what's important. People are sometimes hurting or needy or lonely or they're afraid. You see the little quote sometimes about how be careful how you treat somebody because you don't know what they're going through. And that's important. We need to see people from our hearts to their hearts, not how they talk, not how they dress, not what status in the community they are. We need to see people as who they are inside. And that's what Jesus is trying to tell us. It's about the heart, not the lips. Amen.